Elijah, the prophet of Yahweh, had faced one of the most intense moments of his life on Mount Carmel, as described in 1 Kings 18. There, he challenged the prophets of Baal in a duel that would define the faith of Israel. When the fire of God descended from the heavens and consumed Elijah's sacrifice, the divine victory was clear and unquestionable. This triumph marked not only the defeat of the false prophets, but also a reaffirmation of God's sovereignty over Israel, a people who had strayed from their Creator. Despite the victory on Mount Carmel, the atmosphere in Israel remained tense and dangerous. King Ahab and his wife, Queen Jezebel, were devotees of Baal, and this public defeat would not be easily forgotten or forgiven. Jezebel, in particular, was known for her cruelty and determination in persecuting those who opposed her gods, 1 Kings 18:4. Thus, while Elijah momentarily celebrated the victory, a shadow of threat quickly approached. The triumph on Mount Carmel should have been the pinnacle of Elijah's ministry, but instead it became the prelude to a desperate flight. The threat that arose after this victory changed the course of Elijah's life, pushing him into a journey that would test not only his faith, but also his very survival. The news of Elijah's victory on Mount Carmel reached Jezebel's ears with unsettling speed. Furious with the destruction of her prophets and the public humiliation of Baal, she vowed revenge. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah with a clear and terrifying message. "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." 1 Kings 19:2. This oath was more than a mere threat. It was a promise of certain death. Jezebel was not a queen of empty words. Her history of relentless persecution against the prophets of Yahweh was well known. Elijah, upon hearing these words, was gripped by a profound and visceral fear. He knew the queen had the resources and the will to fulfill her deadly promise. Faced with this threat, Elijah decided to flee. The courage that had sustained him on Mount Carmel now seemed distant. The prophet of God, who had faced hundreds of false prophets without hesitation, now found himself consumed by fear. His flight was not just an attempt to save his life, but also a reflection of the internal battle he faced. Elijah embarked on his flight without looking back, driven by the fear Jezebel had instilled in his heart. He knew he could no longer stay in Israel, for Jezebel's hand was everywhere. His journey led him to the wilderness of Beersheba, a place of solitude and reflection where the prophet could escape, at least temporarily, from the relentless persecution, 1 Kings 19, verses 3 and 4. Elijah's walk through the wilderness was long and exhausting. Each step he took distanced him from the threats of the palace, but it also led him deeper into personal despair. He was alone, without food, without water, and with a soul heavy with doubts and uncertainties. The wilderness, with its overwhelming silence, became a mirror of his own internal condition, arid, desolate, and seemingly hopeless. Elijah was not only fleeing from Jezebel, but also from his own insecurities. He, who had been an instrument of great deeds, now saw himself as a flawed and vulnerable man. His journey through the wilderness was more than physical. It was a spiritual crossing where he confronted his deepest fears and the weaknesses that had until then been hidden in his heart. The wilderness is a place where life is rare, and for Elijah, it symbolized the emptiness he now felt in his soul. With no one to lean on, he walked until he could no longer, until his physical and emotional strength was completely exhausted. The vastness of the wilderness reflected the loneliness that dominated his spirit. It was as if the whole world was against him, and Elijah no longer had the strength to fight. Amid the aridity of the wilderness, Elijah found a broom tree, a small tree that offered little shade. There he sat, consumed by a despair so deep that words failed him. The man who had confronted the powers of darkness now saw himself defeated, not by his enemies, but by his own emotions. The victory on Mount Carmel seemed like a distant memory, almost irrelevant in the face of the anguish that now dominated him. In his solitude, Elijah made a desperate prayer, asking God to take his life. "It is enough," he cried. "Take my life now, for I am no better than my ancestors." 1 Kings 19:4. This was not the prayer of a confident prophet, but the lament of a broken man who believed that his journey had come to an end. Hope seemed to have vanished, and all that remained was the desire to rest forever. Elijah's prayer under the broom tree was a cry of despair, born from an exhausted and desolate soul. He no longer saw a reason to live. The mission that God had given him seemed failed, and he believed there was nothing more he could do to change the fate of Israel. At that moment, Elijah was not the powerful prophet who challenged kings, but a man who, like any other, had his limits and weaknesses. Elijah was so consumed by despair that his only solution was death. He saw himself as a failure, someone who had not been able to fully fulfill God's calling. His plea was not just a request to escape Jezebel, but a supplication to escape his own pain and anguish. He longed for the end, believing that only then would he finally find peace. However, even in his darkest moment, God did not abandon him. In 1 Kings 19, verses 5 and 6, we read that an angel of the Lord appeared to Elijah, offering him food and water and encouraging him to get up and continue. God's response was not a reproach or condemnation, but a demonstration of care and mercy. The Lord had plans for Elijah, and even though the prophet could not see it at that moment, God was about to renew his strength and purpose in a way that Elijah could never imagine. Even at the lowest point of his life, Elijah experienced divine provision in a surprising way. While he slept under the broom tree, an angel of the Lord came to him, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat." When Elijah opened his eyes, he saw beside him a cake baked over hot coals and a jar of water, 1 Kings 19, verses 5 and 6. This act of divine care showed that, despite Elijah's despair, God had not forgotten him. The provision of bread and water was more than just a meal. It was a symbol of the renewal and sustenance that God offers in times of great need. Elijah ate and drank, but still exhausted, he went back to sleep. Again, the angel of the Lord touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." 1 Kings 19:7. The angel's insistence that Elijah get up and eat was not just about the physical need for sustenance, but also a call for Elijah to continue his journey. God was preparing Elijah for something greater, something that would require all the strength and courage he could muster. This provision in the desert is reminiscent of how God cared for the people of Israel during their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, providing them with manna and water, Exodus 16, 4 and Numbers 20, verse 8. Just as God did not abandon his people in the wilderness, he would not abandon Elijah. This moment served to restore Elijah's faith and strength, preparing him for the next phase of his journey. Revived by the food and water the angel gave him, Elijah gained the strength to continue his journey. Strengthened, he walked for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. This number is significant in the scriptures, often associated with periods of testing and preparation. Just as Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai before receiving the tablets of the law, Exodus 34, verse 28, Elijah was also prepared during this time for a transformative encounter with God. Elijah's journey to Horeb was not just a physical journey, but also a spiritual one. Each step in the desert symbolized a movement toward a greater understanding of his purpose and God's presence in his life. The desert, with all its difficulties, served as a place of refinement for Elijah, where he was stripped of all distractions, allowing him to focus entirely on God. Upon reaching Mount Horeb, Elijah did not know what to expect, but he was ready to meet God. The mountain, also known as Mount Sinai, was a sacred place where Moses had encountered God and received the law. Now, Elijah was about to have his own divine experience, one that would reaffirm his calling and encourage him to move forward despite the adversities. Mount Horeb, also called Mount Sinai, is a place of immense spiritual significance in Israel's history. It was there that Moses encountered God in the burning bush, Exodus 3, 1 and 2, and where he received the Ten Commandments, Exodus 19, 20. Now, centuries later, Elijah was following in Moses' footsteps, seeking refuge and guidance on the same sacred mountain. Horeb, the mountain of God, was a symbol of divine encounter, a place where heaven touched earth and where God revealed himself in a special way. When Elijah arrived at Horeb, he took refuge in a cave, seeking isolation and perhaps even protection from the dangers that surrounded him. There, in the silence and darkness of the cave, Elijah was about to experience one of God's most intimate and transformative manifestations. The mountain that had once trembled and smoked with the divine presence was now about to become the setting for a more subtle, yet equally powerful revelation. Elijah's choice to shelter in a cave also reflected his state of mind. He was exhausted both physically and spiritually, and the cave represented a place of rest and introspection. However, God had not finished speaking with Elijah. The prophet had reached the mountain of God, and it was there that he would receive a new vision and renewal of his mission. While Elijah was in the cave on Mount Horeb, the word of the Lord came to him asking, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" 1 Kings 19:9. This question was not merely informative, it was a call to reflection. God was inviting Elijah to look within himself and confront the reasons that had brought him there. The prophet responded with an outburst, expressing his deep frustration and loneliness. "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." 1 Kings 19:10. The cave, with its darkness and isolation, was the place where Elijah externalized all his anguish. He felt abandoned, not only by the people of Israel, but also by God. The prophet who had witnessed God's power on Mount Carmel was now engulfed in doubts and fears, questioning the purpose of his mission and the value of his life. The isolation of the cave mirrored the isolation he felt in his soul. However, God did not let Elijah remain in that state. The question, "What are you doing here?" was not just a call to introspection, but also a preparation for the revelation that was about to come. God was about to manifest himself to Elijah, not in grand displays of power, but in a way that would be deeply personal and transformative, renewing the prophet's faith and mission. After hearing Elijah's anguish, God commanded him to come out of the cave and stand before the Lord, for he was about to pass by, 1 Kings 19:11. This moment was crucial. Elijah was about to witness a direct manifestation of God, something that would completely change his perspective. Perhaps expecting a repetition of the powerful demonstrations seen on Mount Carmel, Elijah prepared for an encounter with divine majesty. First, a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. 1 Kings 19, verses 11 and 12. These manifestations were signs of power that Elijah might have expected, but God was not in any of these phenomena. Instead, after the fire came a gentle whisper, or as many translations describe, a still small voice. 1 Kings 19:12. This still small voice was the means by which God chose to reveal himself to Elijah. Unlike the powerful and terrifying manifestations that Elijah had previously witnessed, God's presence was now marked by quietness and intimacy. God was not only showing himself as the all-powerful creator, but as a caregiver who speaks to the anguished heart of his servant. Through this gentle voice, God demonstrated that he is not limited to grand displays of power, but is also present in the small and silent manifestations, reaffirming his purpose in Elijah's life. When Elijah came out of the cave in response to God's call, he was confronted by a strong wind that tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. This powerful wind, however, did not contain the presence of God. In biblical tradition, the wind often symbolizes the power and presence of God, as in the creation account, where the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. However, this time, God chose not to manifest in the wind, despite its impressive strength. The violent wind that Elijah witnessed likely evoked memories of the powerful manifestations of God that the prophet knew well. But realizing that God was not in the wind, Elijah was led to understand something deeper. God is not limited to expressions of brute force. The silence after the wind was as significant as the wind itself, indicating that the divine presence can be both powerful and silent. This experience marked the beginning of a new understanding for Elijah. God was teaching the prophet that his presence does not depend on spectacular manifestations. The silence after the strong wind invited Elijah to seek God's presence in unexpected places, in the less obvious manifestations of nature and spirit. This was a crucial step in the renewal of Elijah's mission and faith. After the strong wind, there was an earthquake that shook the ground where Elijah stood. Mount Horeb, already a sacred place, now trembled under the power of this natural manifestation. However, just as with the wind, God was not in the earthquake. In the Bible, earthquakes often accompany God's presence, as on Sinai, where the mountain trembled when God descended upon it in fire. But here, the earthquake was a demonstration of natural power, not of divine presence. For Elijah, the earthquake might have been a familiar sign, something he perhaps expected to associate with the manifestation of God. However, the absence of God in the earthquake again subverted the prophet's expectations. God was revealing to Elijah that his presence is not always where visible power and chaos manifest. Sometimes the divine presence is found in what is subtle, in what does not shake the earth but touches the heart. This absence of God in the earthquake was a lesson for Elijah about the nature of divine revelation. God is not limited to what is grand or catastrophic. He reveals himself in ways that often go unnoticed by eyes that seek only the extraordinary. Elijah was being led to a new perception of God's presence, one that transcends the obvious and the expected. After the earthquake came a fire. Fire is a powerful and recurring symbol of God's presence in the Bible, from the burning bush that was not consumed before Moses, Exodus 3 verse 2, to the fire that came down on Mount Carmel in response to Elijah's prayer. But like the wind and the earthquake, the fire that Elijah witnessed did not contain God's presence, 1 Kings 19:12. The fire, with its light and heat, may seem the most direct manifestation of God's power. After all, it was in the fire that Elijah saw God consume the sacrifice on Carmel. But here, on Mount Horeb, God again challenged Elijah's expectations. The absence of God in the fire was a revelation that divine power is not limited to any particular form. Even in the symbol that might have been most familiar and expected, God chose not to manifest. For Elijah, the fire represented a last expectation of a powerful manifestation of God. When God was not in the fire, it became clear that something different was about to happen. God was teaching Elijah to look beyond visible and spectacular manifestations, preparing him for the final revelation that would come in a much more subtle but deeply significant form. After the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper, often translated as a still small voice. It was in this sound, so different from the previous manifestations, that God finally revealed himself to Elijah. This revelation was radically different from anything the prophet had experienced before. God was not in the strong wind, nor in the earthquake or the fire, but in the calm and quiet that followed these phenomena. This gentle and delicate voice was the means by which God chose to speak to Elijah. Unlike the powerful and visible demonstrations before, this manifestation was intimate and personal, accessible only to the heart that is in tune with the divine. Elijah, who was accustomed to seeing God act in grand ways, now found God in a form that required sensitivity and attention. God's choice to speak through a gentle voice teaches that the true encounter with the divine is not always in the most visible or dramatic manifestations, but often in the silence and stillness where the heart can hear clearly. For Elijah, this revelation was a turning point, reminding him that God is present not only in great victories, but also in moments of calm and introspection. After hearing the gentle and delicate voice, Elijah covered his face with his mantle and went out to the entrance of the cave. This gesture reflected deep respect and reverence, for Elijah knew he was in the presence of God. When God asked again, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" 1 Kings 19:13. The prophet repeated the outburst he had expressed before, lamenting the destruction of the Lord's altars and the persecution of the prophets, and emphasizing his loneliness and vulnerability. This dialogue between Elijah and God is deeply revealing. Elijah not only expressed his despair, but also his frustration at feeling isolated in his mission. He believed he was alone, the last of the faithful prophets, and that all his efforts had been in vain. The repetition of his words shows that, despite having encountered God in the gentle voice, Elijah still carried deep anguish and a need for understanding. God, in his patience and mercy, listened to Elijah's lament and responded not with condemnation, but with new instructions. God acknowledged Elijah's pain, but also called him to look beyond his immediate circumstances, reminding him that his mission was not yet finished. This dialogue was not just an exchange of words, but a moment of spiritual renewal where God reaffirmed Elijah's calling and gave him the strength to continue. After hearing Elijah's lament, God not only comforted him, but also reaffirmed his mission with new instructions. The Lord told Elijah to return the way he came and go to the desert of Damascus, where he was to anoint Hazael as king over Aram, Jehu as king over Israel, and Elisha as his successor as prophet. 1 Kings 19 verses 15 and 16. These tasks showed that God's work in Israel and beyond continued, and Elijah was still a crucial part of this divine plan. By reaffirming his mission, God was also reminding Elijah that despite his difficulties and feelings of loneliness, he was not alone in his calling. Each new anointing represented a step in fulfilling God's purpose for his people. The anointing of Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha indicated an important transition, showing that the divine plan was in motion, and Elijah was a fundamental agent in this process. This reaffirmation not only renewed Elijah's purpose, but also gave him a vision of the future. God was preparing new leaders who would continue the fight against idolatry in Israel. Even when Elijah felt isolated and helpless, God was working in ways he could not see, and these new instructions were proof that the prophetic mission was far from over. Part of the new divine instruction included the anointing of Elisha, son of Shaphat, as Elijah's successor. The choice of Elisha was significant as it marked the continuity of the prophetic mission in Israel. God was ensuring that even after Elijah's eventual departure, his word and his work would continue through Elisha. This act of anointing a successor was also a way to relieve Elijah, showing that the weight of the mission was not solely on his shoulders. Elisha, who was initially plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, symbolized the strength and simplicity of the divine calling. When Elijah threw his mantle over Elisha, he immediately understood the significance of this gesture. He was being called to a life of service to God, to continue the work that Elijah had begun. Elisha promptly responded to the call, bidding farewell to his parents and sacrificing his oxen, a demonstration of his total dedication to the new mission. 1 Kings 19 verses 20 and 21. The succession of Elijah by Elisha showed that God's work transcends individuals. It continues through generations. Elijah, who had experienced both success and despair in his ministry, could now see that his prophetic legacy would continue. God was ensuring that even when one servant finished his work, he would raise another to continue. Elisha would become a powerful prophet, but would always walk in the footsteps that Elijah had left. With the appointment of new leaders, Elijah's prophetic mission continued, now clearer and renewed. God's call for Elijah to meet Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha was a divine strategy to ensure the continuity of his work in Israel. These leaders, with distinct roles, would be God's instruments to bring justice and restoration to the people. Elijah, who had felt the weight of loneliness and failure, now saw that God was preparing a future where his will would prevail. The continuation of Elijah's mission also symbolized God's faithfulness amid Israel's rebellion. Although many in the kingdom had turned away from Yahweh, worshipping Baal and breaking the covenant, God was still committed to his people. Through Elijah and his successors, God would show that he would not abandon Israel, but continue to seek the nation's restoration, even through drastic measures such as the anointing of foreign kings and the elimination of Ahab's house. Elijah, therefore, became the link between Israel's past and future. He had witnessed both spiritual decline and divine intervention. And now, with the new mission at hand, he could see that God's purpose unfolded even in the most challenging situations. The work that Elijah started would not end with him. It would continue until God's justice was fully established in Israel. Despite the signs and divine interventions, Israel as a nation continued to reject God's word. Idolatry, promoted by Ahab's house and intensified by Jezebel, had corrupted the hearts of the people. In his anguish, Elijah had lamented that the children of Israel had forsaken the covenant, torn down God's altars, and killed his prophets. This rejection was not only a spiritual failure, but a direct threat to the survival of true worship to Yahweh. Israel's resistance to Elijah's message reflected the hardness of the people's hearts. Even after the undeniable demonstration on Mount Carmel, where God proved to be the only true God, many Israelites continued to follow Baal. This rejection was a painful reminder that the human heart can be stubborn and reluctant to turn to God, even in the face of clear evidence of his power and love. However, Israel's rejection did not mean the end of God's plan. In fact, this rejection only highlighted God's grace, which persisted in seeking repentance and the restoration of his people. Elijah, in his renewed mission, understood that although many rejected the truth, God still had a faithful remnant who had not bowed to Baal, and this remnant would be the foundation for the spiritual renewal of the nation. In response to Elijah's feelings of loneliness and failure, God revealed a surprising truth. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. 1 Kings 19:18. This revelation was a relief and a new hope for Elijah. Despite the apparent widespread apostasy, there was a faithful remnant that refused to abandon Yahweh. These 7,000 were proof that God's work was alive and active, even when it seemed that everything was lost. The concept of a remnant is recurring in the Bible and reflects God's faithfulness in preserving a group of people who remain loyal to him, regardless of the surrounding corruption. For Elijah, knowing that he was not alone in his devotion to God, brought new encouragement. These 7,000 were not just numbers, they represented the continuity of faith in Israel, a foundation upon which God could rebuild the nation. This revelation also serves as a reminder that God sees and knows those who are faithful to him, even when they seem to be in the minority. Elijah's mission, although challenging, now had a new perspective. He was not fighting alone. God had already prepared a faithful people who, along with Elijah and his successors, would be crucial in the restoration of Israel. Mount Horeb, where Elijah had his encounter with God, is a place laden with spiritual and historical significance. Also known as Mount Sinai, it was there that Moses received the Ten Commandments, and where God revealed himself to the people of Israel in powerful ways, Exodus 19:20. Horeb symbolizes the intersection between the divine and the human, a place where God's revelations shaped the history of Judeo-Christian faith. For Elijah, Horeb was not just a physical refuge, but a place of spiritual renewal. The mountain, which had already been the site of grand encounters between God and Moses, now served as the setting for a more subtle and intimate revelation. At Horeb, God reminded Elijah that he does not manifest only in the power of the wind, the earthquake, or the fire, but also in the silence and stillness. This revelation was crucial to restoring Elijah's faith and reaffirming his mission. Mount Horeb, therefore, represents the meeting of the old and the new between God's visible power and his silent manifestations. For Elijah, and for all who follow the faith, Horeb is a symbol that God is present in all aspects of life, in great victories and in moments of doubt and loneliness. This mountain reminds us that God is always ready to reveal himself, no matter how distant or desolate the setting may seem. The desert is a recurring theme in the Bible, often portrayed as a place of testing, but also of encounter and divine revelation. Moses first met God in the Sinai desert, where the burning bush marked the beginning of his mission, Exodus 3 verses 1 and 2. The people of Israel spent 40 years in the desert, where they were disciplined and prepared by God to enter the promised land, Deuteronomy 8, 2. Now, Elijah was experiencing his own journey in the desert, a place where his strength was tested and his faith renewed. For Elijah, the desert was both a place of escape and encounter. He fled from Jezebel and his sense of failure, but it was in the desert that he found God's provision and direction. The desert, with all its desolation and silence, became the setting for a profound spiritual experience. It was there that Elijah, away from the distractions of the world, could hear God's still small voice and understand that his mission was not yet over. The pattern of God meeting his servants in the desert teaches us that in moments of isolation and difficulty, we may be more open to hearing God's voice. The desert symbolizes a place where everything superfluous is stripped away, leaving only the essential, our need for God. For Elijah, as for many others in the Bible, the desert became a place of transformation, where God spoke clearly and renewed his strength to continue the mission. Elijah's experiences on Mount Horeb echo those of Moses on Mount Sinai, creating powerful parallels between these two great prophets. Moses had also sought refuge at Horeb, where God manifested to him in the burning bush. Later, Moses would return to Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments in a dramatic encounter where God descended upon the mountain in fire and the earth trembled. For both prophets, Horeb was the place where God revealed himself and where their missions were defined and reaffirmed. However, while Moses experienced God's manifestation in fire and earthquake, Elijah encountered God differently. After the wind, the earthquake, and the fire, God revealed himself to Elijah in the still small voice. This difference highlights the diversity of divine manifestations and how God adapts to the specific needs of each servant. Moses needed the visible power of God to guide a rebellious people, while Elijah needed the calm and spiritual renewal to continue his solitary mission. These encounters, both Moses and Elijah's, show that God manifests in various ways according to the moment's need and the heart's condition of those who seek him. While Moses' encounter was marked by grand signs, Elijah's was more intimate and personal, showing that God knows the individual needs of each of his servants and reveals himself accordingly. Elijah's story is deeply marked by fear and courage. After facing the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel with unwavering courage, Elijah fled to the desert, gripped by fear of Jezebel's threats. This duality between the courageous prophet who confronts kings and the frightened man who flees to save his life shows the complexity of the human condition, even among God's great servants. Elijah's fear is understandable and human. Jezebel was a powerful queen, and her determination to kill Elijah was real and dangerous. However, Elijah's flight also reveals how fear can obscure our vision of God's presence and power. Elijah, who had witnessed so many miracles, allowed fear to drive him to despair and doubt. But God, in his mercy, did not abandon Elijah in this moment of weakness. Instead, he met him in the desert and restored him. The lesson here is that fear, while natural, should not paralyze us. Elijah teaches us that it is possible to feel fear and still find courage in God's presence. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the ability to move forward despite it. God did not rebuke Elijah for his fear, but strengthened him and renewed his mission, showing that true courage comes from trusting in God and his provision. God's revelation to Elijah in the still small voice highlights the importance of silence to hear God's voice. In a world full of noise and distractions, it can be difficult to discern God's presence and direction. However, Elijah's story teaches us that God often chooses to speak amid silence when all other voices are silenced and the heart is open and receptive. The silence Elijah experienced after the wind, the earthquake, and the fire was more than just an absence of sound. It was a sacred space where God's voice could be heard clearly. This gentle voice, which did not compete with the natural forces around him, brought a deep and personal revelation to Elijah. It was in this moment of silence that Elijah found the renewal and encouragement he so desperately needed. For us, Elijah's example serves as a reminder that we need to create moments of silence in our lives, where we can be attentive to God's voice. Amid the noise and bustle of everyday life, silence is a spiritual practice that allows us to connect with God more deeply. Silence invites us to listen, reflect, and be renewed by God's quiet presence, which speaks directly to our hearts. Elijah's life as a prophet was marked by great challenges, victories, and moments of profound loneliness. His mission was not easy. He confronted kings, denounced idolatry, and at times bore the weight of his people's rejection. However, it is precisely through these difficulties that God's glory was manifested. Elijah served as an instrument in God's hands, even when he felt flawed and abandoned. Elijah's journey illustrates the constant tension between human frailty and the grandeur of the divine mission. As a prophet, he experienced God's power uniquely, but also faced the harshness of resistance and persecution. Yet it was in this field of spiritual battles that God's glory was revealed, not only in great deeds, but also in moments of renewal and intimacy with the Lord, as on Mount Horeb. Elijah's story is a reminder that the prophetic mission, and by extension, any calling from God, is a journey of faith where difficulty is inevitable, but God's glory always prevails. The highs and lows of Elijah's life teach us that God is present in all moments, sustaining and guiding his servants, even when circumstances seem insurmountable. Elijah's story has much to teach us today. His life reflects the struggle between commitment to God and the pressures of the world. Like Elijah, we may face times when we feel alone or oppressed by forces that seem greater than us. However, Elijah's experience reminds us that even in the deserts of our lives, God is present, offering us strength and direction. One of the main lessons we can draw from Elijah's life is the importance of remaining faithful, even when the task seems impossible. Elijah was not perfect. He had his moments of weakness and doubt, but he never strayed from God's calling. His story challenges us to trust God amid difficulties and seek his presence, especially when we feel discouraged or alone. Additionally, Elijah's experience teaches us the importance of hearing God's voice in the silence. In a world full of distractions, it is easy to lose sight of what truly matters. Elijah's example invites us to find moments of quiet, where we can hear God's gentle and delicate voice, guiding and strengthening us to fulfill our mission, whatever it may be. Elijah's journey, from his victory on Mount Carmel to his encounter with God on Mount Horeb, is a powerful narrative of faith, fear, courage, and renewal. Like all of us, Elijah faced moments of great challenge and despair, but he was sustained by God's faithfulness. His life exemplifies how God is present in both triumphs and moments of doubt and fragility. God did not abandon Elijah, even when the prophet felt most alone and helpless. Instead, God met him in the desert, renewed his strength, and gave him a new mission. This divine faithfulness is a constant in Elijah's story, and serves as a reminder to all of us that regardless of the circumstances, God is faithful to complete the work he has begun in our lives. Elijah's story does not end in defeat, but with a renewed mission and a future assured by God. It invites us to trust God in all phases of our journey and to recognize that, like Elijah, we are called to serve a greater purpose, relying on God's unwavering faithfulness.